Thank you for joining us here today at Calvary Church, where we are committed to loving God and loving people. If you have any questions or want to learn more about who we are, visit us online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message.
Happy spring, sunny Sunday, Calvary. What a gift this weather has been this week. And if you don't know who I am, that's actually a really good thing because that means you're new. And we love to have visitors with us. So I'm Susan McDonald. I'm one of the pastors here at the church. But more importantly, I'm married to our lead pastor, Stephen McDonald. And I am mom to Zach and Ty, my two grown sons, who I am very proud of. And it's just an honor to do life with them and with my church family. Well, it's Mother's Day. Yay! So happy Mother's Day to all the moms here with us. And if you're watching online, we're so glad to have you with us. So let's give all the moms a big clap. Mother's Day is a day to honor or remember your mom or the mother figure in your life. So make sure you take time this week or today even to do that. And while many experience this day as a special one, there are many who have mixed emotions about it for different reasons. So if that's you today, we keep you in our prayers. Now, right before I came up to speak, we watched a couple of videos, and one of them was kind of a montage of just a few of the wonderful women here at Calvary that serve with their time and their gifts. We want to express gratitude to all the moms and the grandmothers and the aunts, the sisters and the friends, all the women among us who are influencing our next generation of believers. We know that this task and calling is not just for the parents, but for the whole church community, whether you have children or not. One of our values is to be an intergenerational family church. Our heart is to cultivate a culture in which faith in God is nurtured and relationships are fostered as all ages learn, grow, serve, and worship together. For example, this morning on our worship team, our youngest team member was only 15 years old, and our oldest one was, we'll just say 60-ish. We won't give it away. And at our full-time pastoral staff meetings, where we're sitting around collaborating and sharing vision, we have someone in their early 20s and someone who is 57. One of those people is me, and I'm not going to tell you which one. As mentioned, we strongly believe that parents should be the primary instructors of their children, but our Big Time Kids ministry, led by our children's director, Tessa, and our Root Youth program, led by our student director, Wyatt, are dedicated to coming alongside and partnering with parents to lead children to become fully devoted followers of Christ, loving God, loving people, and loving life. I really encourage you to do everything you can to bring your kids and teens out to these very impactful ministries. Now, if you were to ask a parent what they wanted for their children, or even what they wanted for themselves, many might say, I really just want to be a good person, or I just want to live a good life. But what exactly does that mean, and how do we get it? In our humanistic culture, people easily lose sight of the real meaning of life. They pursue many things, thinking they'll find meaning and purpose. Some of these things could be business success, wealth, relationships, entertainment, and even charity work. While none of these things are wrong and can actually be great, they do not bring ultimate fulfillment. In John 10:10, Jesus says, "I have come so that they may have life and have it more abundantly." Wow, so Jesus doesn't just promise us a good life, but an abundant life. And what does the word abundant here mean? It means exceedingly, very highly, beyond measure, superfluous. I don't think I've ever used that word before. A quantity so abundant as to be considerably more than what one would expect or anticipate. Well, that sounds amazing. So let's discover more of what the Bible has to say about this. An important aspect of Bible study is that you need to look at the whole context of a verse to really understand its full meaning. And interestingly, this statement about abundant life comes in the middle of Jesus proclaiming himself to be the Good Shepherd. So let's read part of that chapter. John 10:7-15. Therefore Jesus said again, "I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, and I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Well, that is remarkable. In these words, Jesus reveals not only his identity, but his profound mission. He contrasts himself with the thief who represents all that seeks to rob us of life's abundance. Jesus, the good shepherd, stands in stark contrast, offering us a life that is not merely existence, but one that overflows with richness and purpose if we follow him. Throughout his ministry, Jesus repeatedly turned our definition of the good life on its head. The word good here, describing Jesus, is referencing his inherent goodness, his righteousness, and his beauty. And what does that mean, his beauty? It speaks of his glory, everything about him that is dazzling and stunning and magnificent and striking and fills our hearts with delight. As shepherd of the sheep, he is the one who protects, guides, and nurtures his flock. Parents, this world can be really a daunting place to try to raise and lead your children in faith. There are many things in the world beyond your control which can lead to anxiety and to stress. And one of my main points today that I really hope that you understand is that I want to encourage you that while you're trying to shepherd your own children or your own sheep, Jesus is as well. So you're not alone. And besides that, he's also shepherding you. So let's jump into the symbolism of Jesus as the good shepherd. Jesus used the illustration of a shepherd because it was a common occupation that most people in his day understood. So how is Jesus like a shepherd? Well, number one, the shepherd provides. I did a lot of reading about shepherds and sheep for this message. Share just a few little things that I learned. So of course, it's the job of the shepherd to meet the sheep's every need. So food, water, rest, safety, and direction. When we as believers follow our shepherd, we too know that we have all that we need. We will not lack the necessities of life, for he knows exactly what we need. Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." Now, this does not just mean material things, although it can, but it also means love, joy, peace, and hope, things that are actually more important. How else is Jesus like a shepherd? The shepherd restores. So I learned, again, like I said, quite a bit about sheep. Now, if you have a dog or cat, if they get away, like if they get loose out the door or whatever, there's a really, really good chance that they're going to find their way home. They have that sense to do that. But I learned that sheep, unlike other animals, don't. They cannot find their way home if they are lost or if they wander away. In Luke 15:4-7, Jesus tells the parable of the lost sheep. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Jesus tells the parable of the lost sheep to show that the kingdom of God is accessible to all, even those who stray from the path. And the truth is, that's all of us, right? Since Adam and Eve, that's all of us. This is how God will rejoice when one of his children returns to him. Jesus' goodness goes after us, seeking us and bringing us home. So the last time that Stephen and I were in Disneyland, we were walking along, and you know, you've heard that saying that Disney is the happiest place on earth, and it is pretty wonderful. But we were walking along and we saw this little girl in a stroller, and her mom was there, and the mom's looking really frustrated, and the little girl is crying and crying, who knows why, but she's crying, and the mom looks at her and says, "This is the happiest place on earth, now stop crying." I just thought that was funny. Someday in heaven, there will be no more tears. But God is constantly moving us towards restoration. And while we are aware that there are moments of joy in this fallen world, it is not always the happiest place. But in eternal life, the ultimate restoration, Revelation 21:4 tells us, God will take away all our tears, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All the old things will pass away. The third way Jesus is like a shepherd is that he leads us. So again, sheep must be led. They cannot find their own way. But they will only follow the voice of the shepherd that they know and trust. So even if two flocks mix together, if the shepherd, one shepherd calls sheep, only his sheep will come to him. The other sheep will not come. They will only come to someone that they trust and that their voice they recognize. In John 10:3-5, Jesus says, the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. His sheep follow him because they know his voice, and they will never follow a stranger. There are many voices in the world trying to tell us how to have a good life, but they can be like thieves trying to lead us astray. As I mentioned, I was a preschool teacher for 25 years, and one of the things we would do at the beginning of the year is to help the kids learn is if we had to leave the classroom to go to the playground or to go to the gym, we would put a rope on the ground, and the children had to hold the rope, and then the teacher would hold the rope at the beginning, and we would walk the children wherever they needed to go. And sometimes in the school that I worked at, you had to go through this big hallway to get to the gym. And often there were other classes there. They were maybe singing or they were doing a project. And so it could be quite noisy in the hall. There could be quite a lot of voices. And there's always one or two children who don't understand about holding the rope, or maybe they just don't want to hold the rope. And they let go and they'll start wandering away. But when I see them, if I call them, even though there's other voices, they recognize me and they trust me, so they'll listen to what I say and they'll come back. And I often think, wouldn't it be nice if God just put out a physical rope that we could all just hold on to, and he would just pull us through this life. We'd never make a wrong turn. We'd never stray. But in his wisdom, he created us with a free will. Jesus leads us and guides us. And how does he do that? Well, when we take time in prayer and Bible study to listen and to know his voice. Also, belonging to a church community and small groups are so important, where like-minded faith people can help you along your journey. Number four, the shepherd defends. Shepherds in Jesus' day were frequently subjected to really grave danger, sometimes even giving their lives to protect their sheep from wolves, bears, and thieves. Jesus is a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And likewise, Jesus gave his life on the cross as the good shepherd for his own. He who would save others, though he had the power, did not choose to save himself. John 10:11 says, the good shepherd lays his life down for the sheep. The final one, number five, the shepherd gives purpose. Sheep were very important in biblical times, and so a shepherd's job was as well. They provided not just wool for clothes, but also meat and milk. Their horns were used as musical instruments or to hold oil. Hebrews 13:20-21 says, may the God of peace, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ. Jesus gives us mission and purpose on this earth and the power through his Holy Spirit to accomplish it. I just finished reading one of my favorite Christian books that I highly recommend by Rick Warren called The Purpose-Driven Life. So if you haven't ever read it, I suggest that you do, or read it again, because I read it every year. And so I've been thinking a lot about purpose lately. He said, when you live in the light of eternity, your focus changes from how much pleasure am I getting out of life to how much pleasure is God getting out of my life. And so when we think about this world, if you know me, those of you who know me, you know I love a good illustration. I'm always looking for illustrations in nature. So the last couple weeks, I had a couple things happen. And And I was talking to Stephen the other day, and I was saying, you know, this, and isn't this just like God? So I was outside just walking around. I have a garden on the side of my house. It's not a flower garden. It's just greenery. But I could see in one of the bushes this, like, some little purple thing. So I kind of knelt down to see what it was. And it was this tiny little purple flower all by itself. It's not even like there was a bunch of flowers with it. It was the only one. And it was so small you could barely see it. But I knelt right down and I had a nice look at it, appreciated it. Went back the next day and it was gone. So I don't know if it got eaten by a squirrel or if somebody came along and picked it. But I got to see it for that one day. Another really silly thing that I wish wasn't true is I always find the need to save drowning bugs when I'm in an outdoor pool. So the last time I was in a pool, there was a drowning hornet. And I was like, ugh, I got to try to save it. I could tell it was still alive. So I scooped it up, threw it out onto the cement. And it's kind of just sitting there in the puddle of water. And you're thinking, it's too late. It's too late. And then it suddenly gets up and flies. And you're like, yes. And then the other thing, I had a bunch of tulips the other day, and when I was trying to get them in the vase, one of them snapped right off on the head. So, of course, there was really no stem that could go in the water, but I felt, I was just like, I can't just throw it out. So I still throw it in the jug of water so it can live its purpose, even if it's just for a few hours. And I thought, well, now, isn't that just like God? He sees us. He saves us, and when we are broken, he still gives us purpose. As we end this simple devotional today, we should ask, what is our response to all of this? What is our response to the shepherd? Well, Jesus tells us in John 10:14, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. So Jesus is saying, know the shepherd. Many people think that this means that they'll live a golden, trouble-free life, or they hope that anyways, when they follow Jesus. But his promise of an abundant life isn't a promise to make all of our hurts and problems go away or to make all of our circumstances pleasant, all of our relationships wonderful, and our futures full of sunshine and roses. The promise of abundant life comes to us in the context of sheep following their shepherd in a dangerous place. It comes to us in the real rough and tumble of life as we live under the protection, the safety, and the sacrificial love of the one true shepherd. So I struggled a little bit about talking about the good shepherd. I was starting out like talking about abundant life, and then of course I realized that the good shepherd was a big part of it. And so I sort of struggled a little bit because sometimes when you talk about sheep and shepherds and things like that, it seems like it's kind of a Sunday school lesson, but it's not. The Bible is for all ages, and every story is for kids right through to adults. The Bible is not a book of fairy tales or nursery rhymes, and Jesus is no little Bo Peep. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 53:6 that we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned his own way. So we know the little Bo Peep, right? Little Bo Peep lost her sheep, didn't know where to find them. Oh, well, leave them alone and they'll come home wagging their tails behind him. Not true, I already learned. They're not coming home. Bo Peep was not a good shepherd. Jesus, however, is the great shepherd. When we wandered, he knew where to find us, and he didn't leave us alone. He goes after us, even laying down his life for us to provide a way home. He brings us back to the green pastures, which is spiritual security of the abundant life. Now, Psalm 23 is possibly the most famous psalm, and it gives us an analogy of the Lord as the good shepherd. In declaring that he is the shepherd of the sheep, Jesus is confirming that he is God. The eternal God is our shepherd. So we're going to read Psalm 23 this morning because it's very powerful. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now that is one mighty shepherd. When I was working on this message, I thought of an illustration to me which kind of personifies this whole abundant life of following Jesus as the Good Shepherd. And about 10 years ago, my family was in Prince Edward Island in PEI. It's so beautiful there. If you ever get a chance, please go. We were over there just as tourists, and we found this spot that was so beautiful. So it was this river that was flowing on the other side of the river. There were these rolling hills. Because they were all, it was all farmland squared off, each of the squares had like a different color, so it almost looked like a quilt. There was this big, beautiful church with a white steeple. And we're walking along this beautiful path next to the river, next to this green field, rolling hills of green field. And all of a sudden, we hear these bells. And we're like, where are these bells coming from? And over the hill comes this little flock of lambs with bells around their neck. Okay, I don't know if they were keeping them in a pen back there, and when they see tourists, they release them. But it was just amazing, and they were leaping and bounding and so happy, and their bells were ringing full of joy. And I just kept thinking about that wonderful picture while I was working on this message. Abundant life through Jesus is not merely the absence of hardships or worldly possessions. Instead, it is a life characterized by depth, purpose, and fulfillment. It is a life in which our hearts overflow with love, our minds brim with wisdom, our spirits soar with joy. It is a life lived in communion with our Creator. Yet He does not force His way into our lives. Rather, He stands at the door of our hearts, knocking gently, waiting for us to invite Him in. John 10, 7-9, as we read earlier, but we'll read it again just as a reminder. Therefore, Jesus said, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved." Jesus is the gate. Will you go through and allow Him to lead you into the fullness of His promises? As we reflect on Jesus' words, let's examine our own lives. Are we allowing the thief, to rob us of life's abundance, peace, joy, and purpose? Are we succumbing to fear, doubt, and despair? Well, the truth is we all do that sometimes. Or are we entrusting ourselves to the care of the Good Shepherd, following Him with unwavering faith, knowing that He leads us to green pastures and still waters? If you do not know Jesus today, or if you have strayed, or are even lacking in faith or trust, pray this prayer with me today. Lord, forgive me of my sins or my lack of faith and trust, and come into my life as Lord and Savior. Today I choose to walk in the footsteps of the Good Shepherd, embracing the abundant life He offers. I choose to surrender my fears, doubts, and worries, trusting that Jesus is leading me to a place of richness and fullness beyond what the world can offer here on earth, but more importantly, to be with you, the Good Shepherd, forever in eternity. Amen. Happy Mother's Day, everyone.